Welcome to All In Definitely, interviews and insights to empower you to achieve personal and professional success through friendships, relationships, and marriage. Here are your hosts, Anwar and Sianna.
Welcome back to another episode, All In Definitely, and I'm back with my special guest, Janet, who's helping out with me with this podcast. Thank you so much, Janet. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So this is our third episode.
Yeah.
Sianna's still working. She's working hard studying, so we wish her well on her studies in law school. And meanwhile, we have to cover some topics.
Oh, gosh.
What do you feel like talking about today?
I don't know, but I know you're going to tell me.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about money.
Money?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about money.
I mean, because it's kind of like what we were talking about last episode, where we were talking about who pays at a date or a first date and stuff like that. But we kind of touched the topic, but we want to like talk a little bit more about the topic.
Okay.
So I just asked for honesty, no judgment. I have mine, my opinions on it. And it's kind of like, what do we say? We kind of say we want, everyone to, well, let's just talk about it. Have you thought about it? Have you thought about money? Do you think about money in a relationship?
Okay, well, first of all, that's a different question. Do I think about money? Yes, all the time. Do you see that we live in Miami? Gotta think about money. And in relationships, yes, of course, it's gonna take a toll. It's gonna be a big part of it because we live in Miami. Money's a big deal. Money, you know, it gets spent every day.
So there's this kind of movement where it's like women empowerment and women should be equal pay. And of course, this is a long time movement. This isn't anything new. This is, you know, decades and decades old.
Of course.
But where are we today? And I think we've made significant strides as a society to pay women and men equally or as equally as possible. I think there's still a disparity somewhere. But you know, leaps and bounds, we've come a long way. Mm-hmm. Does the idea still, is it out there that men should make more money or women should make more money or should be equal, or how do you do it? Do you pool it together? You were engaged for 2 years?
Yeah, I was.
Wow. How did that work? How did that work?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I can only talk about my own experiences. It's a very controversial topic, and I have my own thoughts of how I want to live my life and how that will affect me, and so I will speak about that and not anybody else's life or outlook and how anybody else's life should be. Me personally, I feel like a partnership is a shared situation. It shouldn't be one person has to pull more than the other. I can only speak about my experiences and my experience. My parents have played a very big role in teaching me how that should be. And it was always a shared responsibility. Sometimes my mom was making more money than my dad and vice versa. And they would always be very open and very, you know, they would always share the responsibilities and swap bills and talk about what can be or couldn't be done, you know, raising a family as immigrants. And that's just, I thought that was beautiful. It wasn't always perfect, but it was beautiful. And in my own personal relationship, that's how it was also. Like when we were living together, we figured out, hey, you know, one needs to get done, one needs to get paid. And then we would share those responsibilities like that too.
Okay. But like, okay, let's just talk about the logistics here. So you get married or you're engaged and you decide that you're going to live together, not legally licensed marriage, but just staying together.
Right.
Do you get a shared bank account?
I don't feel like that's necessary.
What about post-marriage?
It could be something that we talk about and see if it's what we want to do. If it makes sense, like, I don't know exactly how you said logistically, if it makes sense, then I don't see why we wouldn't do it.
Because I absolutely believe that you should keep finances separate at all times.
I kind of agree with that.
In 2022, this day and age, you know, there's no reason for you to commingle your accounts, even if you buy a place together, like you buy a home together, I think you should keep things completely separate. Mm-hmm. Right? Do you agree?
I kind of do.
Long after a marriage, if you choose to go through a licensed marriage, which I discourage people to do.
I feel like if there is ever the need to have a joint account, Sure. By all means, go for it. I don't know, to pay for certain bills, like on auto pay or for, you know, for certain things that there needs to be a joint account for, maybe for something for the kids or whatever that may be.
Okay.
Sure. But I would also agree.
I don't want to harp too much on, but like, what's a specific bill that there would be two account, like one account for two people in?
A specific bill? No, like, I mean, like, if you have multiple accounts or if you have a specific account that you're, like, maybe having allowances for the kids, mm-hmm. and you're just, you know, both parents are putting funds aside for that. Or maybe you have a specific account that's meant to be used, like, a budget for, like, I don't know, vacations or Christmases or something like that. And that's something that you guys share. Mm-hmm. Or even emergency funds.
Okay, but you don't want to keep that separate? Like, your account, but your name only.
No, because that's, again... That's if it's something that we have spoken about and agreed upon, then I think that, in those cases, those would be good examples of what to have a joint account for. But I should, like, the main accounts, I don't see why it wouldn't be separate.
Okay. So, because I believe that, in my opinion, I think that you should keep all bills and all accounts separate at all times. And it's not necessary to have one account necessarily. Mm-hmm. Unless there's one person working, I mean, then it could be like where someone can access to make payments. But there's other ways to do that, because you could just basically give them a credit card on your account, for example, to pay bills or to go shopping or whatever it needs.
Speaking for myself, mm-hmm. I feel like then what, am I being put on a leash? Being told you're only able to spend this amount? That, I mean... Again, you would be able to speak about what you can, what your limits are within that partnership. Like, hey, you know, this month we only made X amount. We can only spend Z amount, you know, because we want to be living responsibly, as I previously mentioned.
So let me ask you this question then. If you're in a marriage or in a relationship that's similar to a marriage, right. Are all your monies put together?
Again, so we're only talking about this shared account being for, like, specific things. Like, this is supposing and going off of my previous experiences where we both had a job, mm-hmm. we both made our own income. And with that being said, if there were to have been it just makes paying bills easier to have a shared account. But not that be the only account that we each have. Like, we would still have our own separate accounts have one shared account that was, like, designated for budgeting XYZ thing.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that I know, like, because, you know, we live in Miami and I see roommates all the time.
Right.
And especially in my real estate practice, where multiple people live together, mm-hmm. and they all pay the rent and they all pay the bills associated with the house, but they all have separate accounts.
Okay.
So what would be different is kind of like where I'm going, like as we're talking to about, you know, relationships in 2022, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I get that what you're saying, and it feels like it's, you know, something similar, but like I just can't really find a scenario where you need to put someone on your bank account unless you needed a signer. Like, I have my mom on my account as a signer on the account. If anything happened to me, she can still access the account. I'm on her account as well. There's a good reason why, because I don't think I can divorce my mom. I don't think I will ever, right? I don't think she's going to leave me. But you know, it can complicate relationships, and it usually leads to like a big hassle if you ever do go through a divorce, which is not anything that I'm recommending to people, but it is a big hassle to be able to have to tear apart finances and stuff like that.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is have a joyful relationship and not have any kind of tearing apart. So I have like other questions I'll ask about that. But I just, you know, I just wondered about that sharing of bills and sharing accounts, because I have endless examples of people that live together long term, even just roommates. And they never share an account, but they always share the bills and find a way to make it work.
No, I'm not saying there isn't a way to make it work. I'm just saying, like, if the conversation gets brought up and both partners think, hey, it's a good idea to do this, it would be for those reasons, for like a specific I don't know, situation. Mm-hmm. I didn't go through that because we were able to figure it out, you know, by either sending money through Zelle. Like, that's just easy nowadays.
Yeah. And, you know, I make the suggestion to people that where one person is not working is to create a separate account just for them. And let's call it, put whatever money aside in it. Put $500 a month until you get to $10,000, and then that's their emergency money. If anything happens, they can access that money, and only they can access that money. But I always like to keep things separately. It's just a much, much easier way to do things. But let me just go back around to that. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Is it better? Or is it expected? Not you. We're making a general statement now. When you're talking to your female friends, is it generally expected that the male makes more money, generally speaking?
I think it depends on who I'm trying to think of.
We don't have to be modest here. We're just talking here.
So I'm genuinely going into like
you're never with your girlfriend somewhere and you guys are talking about it. You're like, yeah, you know what? He makes a lot of money. That is a good plus.
I don't know. Some of my friends are really hard workers. Female friends are really hard workers.
So it's not even a factor.
If it is, my friends are really independent. They want to be out there hustling.
My question is, even if it is not a factor, isn't it better?
You know, there's a word for what you're doing.
What am I doing?
You're trying to coax an answer.
I am not coaxing an answer. I'm just trying to get to like a point. Like, it can't hurt. That's for sure.
Well, of course, it can't hurt.
It could hurt.
It's like saying, "Hey, if you win the lottery, that would be a bummer, huh?" It's more money. Who doesn't want more money? And again, in the situation that I am describing, this is a shared partnership. Mm-hmm.
And then
burdens are split equally between both of them.
But by the way, I'm not saying that per se.
Hang on. Let me finish my statement. Don't ask me a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Talk over me. How rude. it's very easy to derail me. Don't derail me. Okay, so it's not to say that one person's, like, whatever Bob makes is being shared by Mary, just like, oh, I am entitled to your money, Bob, because we're together, says Mary. That I don't think that is like reasonable.
Yeah, that's not what I was
asking. But yes, kind of. No, because Mary just got in a relationship with Bob, and like Bob makes a lot of money, so that money's not mine. No,
that's not what I was asking.
That's not how I see it.
Let me clarify the question again.
Okay.
You're there and you're meeting with your girlfriends.
Bob and Mary are fictional.
And you're meeting with your girlfriend, and your girlfriend Mary has just met this new guy Bob, and then she's like, "He's great, he's funny, and by the way, he's a multimillionaire." Does the fact that he's a multimillionaire just add a little bit to him? Let's just be honest.
Of course, it does.
That's what I was asking.
Flip it. What if Bob meets a multimillionaire mogul, you know, makeup business owning female? Wouldn't that be amazing? Or does that damage Bob's ego?
No, it doesn't.
That's
a good question. It does not damage the ego. Does it make an effect? Does it have an effect on me? Probably not. But does it matter to a lot of people? I guess I would say so. And I say that because I have a lot of friends that are doctors and make great money. Okay. And they always speak as women that make their own money. As a plus, it's like an added plus, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Does it okay? Is it so? That's,
but what I'm trying to make clear is that it doesn't equate. Like when one person makes a certain amount of money, that doesn't mean that money automatically belongs. What's his is mine, and what's mine is mine. Mm-hmm. What is that the mentality?
No, I wasn't even going down that road. Okay. I was just basically saying you're dating, so you meet someone and you're like, hey,
of course, it's
like,
always going to be a plus.
This guy is making more money, and it's a plus.
Hang on. So what you're trying to say is like, if I'm dating someone and they are not very well off, it's like to plus up there a bum. Oh my God, you should see.
Oh no, no, I wasn't saying that.
He's so great and he's a bum.
No, 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 no. I wasn't suggesting that. So let me give you more example. It's kind of like,
please.
There seems to be a cap where it would actually matter. Okay. What it matters, the difference that matters. Okay. So for example, if someone makes $200,000 a year,
okay,
and someone makes $1 million a year,
mm-hmm.
there's a difference there.
No.
There's a difference there.
Really?
There's a big difference with 200 in okay. lifestyle.
Just making sure.
Okay.
You might need to write down.
I already got this on there. But let's just keep going with it. Okay. The difference between someone makes $1 million a year and someone makes $10 million a year,
mm-hmm.
there's a slight difference there too. But let's go with it and say someone that makes $500 million a year and $600 million a year.
Okay.
Another person makes $600 million a year. Is there that much of a difference at that price point? Is that at that income level? Obviously, there's $100 million difference. But is there really a difference between someone that makes $500 million a year and $600 million a year? Probably not. So what I want to say is, like, there's definitely a cap, right? There's a point to which it doesn't really matter anymore. Like, you're not going to have like a bigger whatever house or yacht or whatever the case may be. It's just going to not matter so much. Other things are going to matter.
It's like, you're filthy rich anyways. Oh, but he's filthier rich.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah, but we're both filthy rich.
I can't see that matters. All right? Like, someone that makes... Okay, let's just go. Let's keep going with it. Someone makes $5 billion a year and another person makes $5 billion a year. Does it matter more? It doesn't matter more, right?
So, no, but what I'm trying to say is that it didn't matter from the first place.
Well, it did matter from the first place.
No,
there's a big difference. There's a big difference with someone living in Miami. And by the way, if you're in Miami and you're making $200,000 a year, you're not in the 1%. Now, if you're making $1 million a year, you're in the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a big difference. Even though it's like $800,000 difference, it's a big difference at that income level. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that, you know, money in a relationship tends to matter that much, but it's something we're talking about because it's something that everybody thinks about.
Yeah.
So,
it's a big part of the relationship.
Yeah.
Is whether or not they're mature enough to be able to share responsibilities.
Absolutely. But, and security.
Yeah.
Security is a big, big deal on many people's checkbox, you know, kind of like, I want somebody that, you know, does well for themselves or can take care of you in case something happens. Or, you know, I think that's something that people think about getting into a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder, like, now I'm saying the threshold is not very high, right? Because now the threshold is like, okay, does he have a job or does she have a job? Can they take care of themselves or like live on their own or whatever the case may be? Do they have their own place or are they living with roommates or their parents or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a threshold there. And I guess the threshold is independence, like somebody that's more independent. But I don't know. Like, to a lot of people, that's not enough. To some people, it is. So it depends on who it is. But it just gets so... like non-sexy to talk about someone's income levels.
Yeah.
But it's such an important factor when you're looking in a relationship.
So would that be a first date question?
That's
for you?
Not going to be a first date no. question for me.
Okay, good.
But I'm a simple person. So, I mean, for me, it's not going to really matter so much, but for a lot of people, it does matter.
Yeah.
It's a big factor. And in the beginning, it's not so much a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it turns into, like, let's say when you're younger, it's not a big factor because, you know, you kind of get by, people are going to school, maybe working another job. But eventually these things turn into something where you don't want to always struggle to pay the bills at the end of the month.
Of course.
And it puts a lot of pressure on a relationship. And when people get into a relationship, I don't think that they're thinking long term. I think they're thinking like for now. And I could tell you there's a lot of people that get in relationships that... they're just kind of like saying, oh, we'll see, we're together, but we'll see where it goes. So once you're saying that we'll see where it goes thing, maybe you don't have children, maybe you do, but it turns into those almost always turn into a long-term relationship, but they never dealt with the monetary issues in the beginning or the earning potentials. They kind of like let that go and work on yourself and work into your career. And that's something to be said too, because there's some people that stay in a relationship where each partner is not at a high income level, mm-hmm. and then they support each other to get to a certain level, and then they stake claim to the improvement in income. So I just wanted to like think about what are some of these things that, what's the best way to go about a relationship in the beginning? And do you keep your finances separate? Do you always make sure that you're that you're independently in a relationship?
That you have a way out? Is that what you're saying?
No, not a way out. But let's be honest.
Yes.
I mean,
but yes,
it's not like a way out, but it's kind of like not tied in to something that you're, that's no longer good for you.
Gotcha.
Is it good to like intermingle everything? Probably not.
No, but that's what I was saying at the beginning, that mm-hmm. again, at least in my personal experience, mm-hmm. I always had my separate funds or my own account. And that was never something that we discussed, that we needed to have a joint account for anything. And I feel like having separate accounts may be a very good idea. Because unfortunately, yeah, you never know when someone's just going to walk out of your life. Right. It happens.
It happens.
And then what happens, then you are arguing and fighting over who's his what, or maybe you completely lose access to funds and you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. Like, let's say, I don't know, in the middle of a highway driving back home, mm-hmm. and you don't even have gas for money or money for gas. What did I say? Money for
gas. But that doesn't really happen.
Oh, it happens.
Well, then you just get a credit card.
Uh-huh.
So let's say
people can't have credit cards.
Well, if you have a joint credit, everybody has to have a credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have a credit card, you need to work on getting
my credit card.
If you don't have a credit card, you need to be working on your credit to get a credit card. And it's just the way of the world. I mean,
I'm sorry. Can we repeat for like the fifth time that we live in Miami?
I understand.
The overall Miami credit sucks.
I understand. But I don't, I like that's, I mean, we like to create these scenarios where it's impossible. Like you just have a joint account or something like that. Yeah. But if you don't have a credit card or something like that, maybe you should marry someone that can give you a credit card. Maybe that's a good thing to use in the case of you need gas on the 95.
What? I'm going to go out looking for. It's like, hey, you are only applicable if you can give me a credit card.
I don't tell people how to live their life.
Sounds awful.
I don't tell people how to live their life.
No.
However, I will say that if you are in a financial situation where you're working out your credit, which is fine.
Okay.
And you're marrying someone or getting in a long-term relationship with someone that also is figuring out their whole credit score and trying to get a credit card, mm-hmm. it's probably not a good sign of financial ties.
Okay.
It could be a very quick issue.
Makes sense.
Is what I'm saying. So maybe if that's an important issue and you want to get in a long-term relationship, work out the fact that who has a good credit and then just give me a credit card.
Okay. How,
for emergency purposes.
How about, remember when I was saying that I keep my stuff like individual? How about, you know, Janet fixes her credit and Janet has her own account.
I agree with that. And by the way,
Janet figures it out.
By the way, the whole purpose of a relationship, you got to get back to why we're getting in a relationship in the first place. And I think that a lot of times, if the best way to grow, the best way to flourish is to find places where you need to grow. And find someone else that, and work with somebody else that is very good at what you're not very good at.
Okay.
So if you're someone's good at finances and you're probably not so good at finances, then that's the best person to teach you about finances, because nobody's going to have a more invested interest in your financial success than somebody that you're married to.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, if somebody's not good at cooking, which I am not, all right, and you find somebody that's good, that's good for cooking, then you can basically learn those kinds of skills on your own.
Yeah.
So it's just part of like being honest with yourself on not just what is physically attractive and who has a great personality, because those are the top two, mm-hmm. why people choose relationships. And I don't know what, I know we went through some other options earlier where you have to have like, I don't even know what you, easy to talk to and communication
hang on,
and all this other stuff.
But that was, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, the question was, what was I looking for in the father of my children?
Okay.
Which is totally different.
Okay, well, so wouldn't that be aligning?
You would hope they aligned at least like majority, but like there's a difference between that, the father of my children and just a fling.
You're confusing me now. You're confusing. You work on.
Well, you work on
a fling. Why don't you just have a fling?
No, but
what are
you were saying what you find attractive in a man, but you might prioritize certain things for someone who you want as a father of your children and not really care about those things if you're just having a fling.
How do you know you're having a fling? I'm a little confused.
How do you not know you're having a fling?
Are you assuming that the relationship is a fling? And then it turns into a relationship that turns into a marriage?
What?
Or are you assuming, it's two separate
searches? From the beginning,
searches.
You know it's a fling.
But how do you know that if you don't know the questions?
Hi, this isn't serious.
Oh, so that's how you start off your relationships?
No, but something, oh my gosh.
I'm confused.
Can I veto this entire conversation?
No, there's no way. I'm so confused here. So wait a minute. Let me just ask you this. So you go out one day and you go meet this guy that you determined prior to going out that this is a fling, but then you go on another
date. I think
you
need to go out more.
No, I'm asking. I don't know.
And that's why I'm telling you. You need to go out more.
I'm asking what you think.
Okay. No, I'm going to tell you, but I'm just saying also you need to go out more. No, you just have an understanding. I don't know, communication. Like if you are, you should know whether or not, hey, like right off the bat, one or two dates in, you know if it's going to be a serious thing or not. And you get that out of the way. You say, hey, I really don't find you, I don't think it's going to be a serious thing between you and I. We don't have a whole lot of things in common.
He's not a good communicator.
Exactly. There's that understanding or even that that the conversation is not going to, it's not going to take a serious turn because you've never had more serious conversations, more long-term conversations. Those conversations don't happen. And short-term conversations like, hey, let's hook up or something like that do happen. And so there's an understanding and always consent between the two people.
So when you
about
say,
what's
when,
happening.
So when you say hook up, you're talking like have a sexual experience, right? And,
I
but nothing, nothing further than that. And this is okay in 2022.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a lot of people.
Okay.
For most of Miami, unfortunately. There's not a lot of people that want something serious, which brings us back to what
but
you were saying earlier. They don't even want kids because want to live their life and
And listen,
all this fun stuff with young people.
But I think that people want to keep their options open at all times. That's why they don't want to buy a house. That's why they don't want to have children. That's why they don't want to call themselves married or even be married. It's because at all times, this generation has chosen they want to keep their options open because there's something better coming down the line. What they're not realizing is these small marriages, I call them, are changing your life profoundly. They're not just a hookup.
Okay.
They turn into great pain. They turn into great suffering. They turn into lost opportunities when you could have been with someone that has good... that has something for you to build upon. See, I'm against this whole trash bag hookup thing. Trash bag hookup. That's when you
trash bag hookup.
Trash bag hookups when you have to use layers of protection, condoms and such. You have to try not to exchange any bodily fluids except for kissing, of course. That's I guess that's okay.
You should always be protected.
Yeah, I mean, I what do you mean?
You should always be protected.
I understand that, but when you're going out with someone to never exchange bodily fluids, it's different. You know? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, let me gather myself.
So this is what I'm talking about. This is where I'm going with this, that we should look at these random, what you call hookups.
Right.
I call mini marriages.
You're right.
The reason why is it? Am I? And I'm not saying.
I'm thinking of like specific scenarios where I would not call them mini marriages.
You would just call it
a
sexual experience.
And I,
you're on a vacation. And I get it. You're on a vacation somewhere. Not,
first of all, I don't vacation. I don't have money for vacation.
Okay, maybe I'm just talking about my credit card. We're talking about like this whole thing. Like you walk into somewhere and you know, okay, this is not anyone I'm going to.
You walk into somewhere like what? What do you really think? You need to go out more. I'm serious.
No, you're
what do you think is happening? That I just go out to a random bar and say. That guy all the way over there in the corner.
I didn't say
that's
that.
The guy that I'm going to have a random fling with.
I said you asked them three questions. They didn't. they didn't answer yes to communication
it's
to
like
whatever
a cheat
the case.
Code.
Yeah, like whatever your questions were. They were like, nope, this is not going to work out. I know what this is could lead to, but nothing else. You said that. I didn't say that.
No, first of all, you're manipulating what I'm saying and turning it around.
You go there. You ask three questions. You already know that this person has no potential. You're no longer interested in communicating on a long-term base. And now you're looking just for a hookup.
Okay. So as opposed to what? You get into a long-term marriage, as you say, with this person. And what? Spend 3, 4, and 5 months understanding. When you knew from the beginning it wasn't going to be a... like something that would be fruitful, like as an actual relationship.
Well, let me do something real quick.
Well, maybe they're attractive and you want to be with that person.
I definitely
once or twice.
I have to talk to you about this hookup culture. I have to understand.
Not in that culture.
But we are out of time.
Do not wait. Hang on. Do not misunderstand me. I am not in the hookup culture.
We are.
I
out
just
of time.
Know about it.
We're going to talk a little bit
I
more
spoke
about that.
To Mary.
Can you hang around for another episode?
I can hang around.
Okay.
For another episode.
We're going to go ahead and wrap this episode. Thank you for listening. If you need help getting your high school diploma or career training certificate, log on to careerhighschool.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for doing this show. And I want to keep talking. So we're going to just hang out a little bit. We'll record another episode and we'll see you guys soon.
See ya.
You've been listening to All Indefinitely. Help us spread the word by subscribing and sharing the show.